Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. Nearly 40 years ago, unbelievable, but nearly 40 years ago, I heard my pastor, Henry Mahan, on television. That's how I first heard the gospel. And he asked this question, "Do you love Jesus Christ?" I have been asked if I believed on Christ. I've been asked to accept Christ as my personal Savior in the past. Before that, before I heard the gospel, I heard a lot of things. But the first time, for the first time, I heard, this one struck me right in the heart, because I never thought of it this way. Do you love? And that's the title of the message. Do you love Jesus Christ? Love, and I want you to get this. Love is what makes the difference of Christianity being a religion or a relationship. It's what makes the difference of it being a religion or being a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the God of heaven and earth. And I know that the one whom I love has me. Whomever or whatever you love, that has you. It has your heart. It has your affection. It has your trust. The one you love. There is no one saved who does not love Jesus Christ. No one is saved who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how moral, no matter how charitable, no matter how faithful or religious one might be, without love, there is no relationship with Christ. And there's no salvation, no work of grace in the soul. Scripture says, he that loves not knows not God. One of the first things the Holy Spirit does when he takes possession of a sinner is this. The love of God is shed abroad in his heart. That's one of the first things. Now, I want to ask a question. This is a searching question. Do you love Jesus Christ? Look over in verse 15. Let me read a few verses. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, yes, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. By what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Follow me. Peter, do you love me? It's a searching question. He didn't ask Peter why he had denied him. He could have. Peter boasted, I'll die for you. I'll die for you. I won't leave you. I'll die for you. And he cursed and he denied him three times. But he didn't ask him that. You know why? Why? I think why. Love hideth the matter. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't reveal the sins he's forgiven you of? I am. He didn't ask him that. He went straight to the heart of the matter. Straight to the heart of the matter. Lovest thou me more than these? This question calls Peter to examine himself. And it's a question if we face properly, it'll make us examine ourselves. And why is that? Why is that? Why should we examine ourselves? No relationship lasts where love is absent. It doesn't last. There's no serving Christ. There is no worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ apart from love. Can't do it. The Lord said, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Far from me. And before Peter enters the heat of the battle, you see, after he asks him this three times, he tells him what's going to happen to him, how he's going to die. They're going to crucify him. History had it, he was crucified upside down. Peter didn't think he was worthy to be crucified the same way the Lord was. I don't know, but he's going to be crucified. The Lord revealed to him the death that he would glorify God by. So before he enters the heat of the battle, this matter of love to Christ, above all other things, must be settled. It must be settled. The only thing that will keep a believer on the battlefield, the only thing that'll do that, is a real, genuine love to the Master. A real genuine love. What keeps a mother by the bedside of a sick child? A few years ago, I was in the hospital. I had a virus. I was in there for about 3 days. And I had to make my wife go home. I didn't have to make one nurse go home. And I understand that. That was her job. She was there and she would tell me who was coming in next, and she'd tell me she'd be punching out and the other lady be taking over. But I had to make my wife go home. I said, you go home. I said, I'm okay. They're taking care of me here. They're taking good care of me. I had to make her go home. I didn't have to make the nurses go home. The only difference is there was one that loved me. The others, I was a duty. And I understand that. So this matter of love to Christ, the battle's going to get hot. It's going to get hot. And you're going to die over the gospel. And the only thing that's going to carry you through is a strong love for me. A deep, deep love for Christ. We sing a song, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Solomon said this, love is stronger than death. He said it's stronger than death. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He didn't regret going to the cross. Having loved his own, he loved him all the way to the end. What is it that constrains us? Is it law? No. Not the believer now, not the believer. There's one thing that the apostle says constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us. What constrains us from this old man, this old nature we have, from going wild, from going back? It's a love to Christ. It's a genuine love to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to preach the truth in love. And the only way that I can stand here and preach the truth in love is to love the one I'm preaching. It's to love the one, it's to brag about him. It's to brag about him. It's to boast of the Lord Jesus Christ. A person who loves Christ. Now listen. A person who loves Christ is the person who has a heart to preach with. That person has a heart to tell others about him. Have you seen him whom my soul loveth? Have you seen him? Look over in, since I mentioned that, look over in the Song of Solomon. I want you to notice in chapter one. Chapter 1, verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Oh, where thou feedest. Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noonday. Look over in chapter 3. Listen to this. Listen to this language. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. That's love. That's a relationship, isn't it? That's a strong relationship. No stronger relationship than when two people love each other. There is no stronger relationship at all. There is a real difference between preaching the truth in love and just preaching the letter. A real difference. Some can get a hold of doctrine who never get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, who never lay hold of eternal life. Now, as I said, the Lord takes Peter by the heart, and he has him to compare, to examine his love to him, to Christ, to these things. Lovest thou me more than these? Look over in the first part of this chapter. It says in verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples in John 21 at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I'm going fishing. He hadn't done that for a long time. But he said, I'm going to go back to my occupation. I'm going to go fishing. And listen, be careful who you follow. They say unto him, well, we're going to go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and they caught nothing. they got nothing. The Lord's going to take Peter by the heart, and he's going to have Peter sit down, sitting there in front of him, to examine himself and to compare his love to him to these things. Whatever these things may be. It may be family. It may be job. It's whatever it is. It's these things. Nothing can rival our love to Christ. I cannot love anything more. I am not to love anything more than I love Christ. I would to God that we could love each other and love Christ the same. He's not saying that I can't love you as much as I love Him. I wish I could. I wish we did. He said, he that loves mother, father, sister, brother more than me is not worthy of me. And then it's a personal question. Peter, this is personal. This is getting personal, isn't it? Do you love me? It's not a general question. It's not a group question. It's a personal question. Is there anything about Christ that you would change? Do you love me? As I am. As I am. For who I am. Do you love me? There's not one thing that a believer would change about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in Song of Solomon again. Now there are things I'm confident that my wife would change about me. Because neither one of us are perfect. Neither one of us. There are things that need to be changed about me, but not about Christ. Song of Solomon chapter 5. Listen to this description. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. Everything about him is lovely. He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. He's altogether lovely. Peter, do you love me? Take Peter's name out of it and put your name in there. But John, do you love me? Do you love me? I thought about this last night, and I was going over there, coming down here. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs this morning. And then it's a heart question. A heart question. This goes beyond academics. This goes beyond academics. This goes beyond ABC. It goes beyond 5 points. It goes beyond that. It goes to the heart. This has to do with a relationship. Love is a relationship. And love starts in the heart. It's one of the first signs of the work of the Holy Spirit. That you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the marks of sonship. You go and read 1 John. It talks about loving one another. Don't talk about loving someone if something else has your heart, if something else has you, that's what you love. And it's the clearest evidence of a new heart. Of a new heart. And that's the only heart that loves, that genuinely loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it is a revealing question. It's a very revealing question. It reveals whether one is lost or saved. It reveals whether one is lost or saved. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In verse 41, the Lord's speaking here. And he's speaking to these Pharisees. He says, "You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. God is our Father." If that's so, if God is your Father, this is what's going to happen. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. You wouldn't be trying to kill me. You'd love me. You'd worship me. You'd fall at my feet and give me the praise and glory that's due. For I proceeded forth, and I came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me." If God's your Father, then you would love Jesus Christ. It's a mark of sonship. There are a lot of people, and I believe this, I believe there's a lot of people in hell that believe election. They believe predestination. They believe the 5 points of Calvinism. But there's not one soul. There is not one soul in hell who loves Jesus Christ. Not one. Not one. You can believe doctrine and perish. But you can't love Christ and perish. That's not even possible. It's not possible. And then it reveals this. It reveals spiritual health. Or sickness. Or sickness. Turn over to, I didn't write this down, but it's Revelation chapter 2. I'll find it from there. It's a church at Ephesus. Let me find, here it is. And it's in the first verse. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And you have borne and have patience. You've labored and you've put up with persecution, and you've patient for my name's sake. Thou hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless," that's pretty good resume for up till now, isn't it? That's pretty good resume to come from God. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." This question, "Do you love me?" reveals spiritual health or spiritual sickness. He said, "You left your..." Didn't sound like it, did it? You husbands and wives, You get married, and you know the honeymoon is gone by, time is gone by, and you get busy. You're busy, you're making a living, taking care of the kids, and busy, busy, busy. "Martha, Martha, cumbered about with much service." That kitchen can wait. My wife can't take a dirty kitchen. She has to clean it up if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I say, Vicki, it'll be there in the morning. No, it won't. I'm not going to let it. Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. Cumbered about with much service. But Mary chose the one thing that was needful. Him. Sit at His feet. Sit at His feet. Life can get us so busy that before you know it, you look, turn around, and you say, how'd I get here? How'd I get here? Life can get so busy that when the kids grow up and they finally leave, you look around and you say, who are you? Who are you? I've been here all these years. Nevertheless, I have something against you. You left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else listen how severe this is. I'm going to come to thee quickly. I'm not going to put up with this. I'm going to come quickly. I'm going to remove the candlestick out of his place. They got so busy that they forgot him. It's a revealing question. It also reveals whether one is walking in the spirit or in the flesh. Who has your heart? If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's what your heart should be set on. That's what my heart should be set on. Things that are above. Not the things on this earth. I know we have to live on it, but my heart does not have to be set on it. Consumed with it. And it's a repeated question. He asked Peter three times. And without a doubt, the reason he asked him three times is because we are repeat offenders. Being in this flesh, our love grows cold. It grows cold toward Christ. It can. It grows cold toward one another. It can do that. And we need to be reminded, I think we need to be reminded every morning when we rise to meet the day, do you love me? Face every day with this question, do you love me? Here's the sad thing. Turn back over to John chapter 21. Here's why it has to be asked three times. One of the reasons. I don't know all the reasons. He asked Peter in verse 15 in John 21, do you love me? And Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love you. It's like my wife, I think it was like if my wife asked me if I love her, I said, yeah, well, you know I love you. But all you husbands say, well, honey, you know I love you. And then he asked him the second time. And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know I love you. Then he asked him the third time. And the third time, what does it say? Peter was grieved. He was grieved because he said unto him the third time. He should have been grieved the first time. It ought to grieve me if my wife asked to ask me one time, do you love me? Do you love me? It took three times before it grieved him. Now, why do I love Christ? Let me give you a few things here, and I'm going to close. The Scripture tells us in 1 John 4:19 that we love God because He what? First loved us. It's a response. Love of God shed abroad in the heart is a response to His love. I love Him. I love Him. He loved me first. He chose me first. He said to His disciples, you did not choose me. I chose you. I chose you. I set my love on you. I set my love, He says in one place, on you. You are the apple of my eye. We have His full attention. We have His full love. His, you know, I said our love can grow cold. His never does. It never moves. It never diminishes. It's always full and free. Even when He chastens us, He chastens us out of love. It is pure love that's causing Him to chasten us. Another reason that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, if we love Him at all, is because we've been born of God. Born of God. And here's another reason. I can't help it. I couldn't help when I fell in love with my wife. I couldn't help it. It's not something I tried to muster up and make myself do. I just fell in love for her. That's why they call it falling in love. If you could help it, you wouldn't fall. Falling in love. You can't help it. The reason you believe, the ones of you here that believe the gospel, the reason you believe, you can't help it. You cannot help it. It's like try not to breathe. You have to breathe. You can hold your breath for a little bit and you've got to breathe. That's the way faith is. You can't help it. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And here's love's proof. Love's proof. When Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. One of the reasons he says this to Peter. Peter had such a personality about him that he would have jumped straight into the face of those Pharisees and Sadducees and those lawyers. And he would have went toe-to-toe with them. And the sheep would have starved. A young man asked me some time ago about preaching. And he's talking about a message, you know, preparing a message and all. And I said, advice I'd give you is don't try to straighten anybody out. This man's young. He's young. I said, don't try to straighten him. Don't try to convince anybody of the 5 points of Calvinism. I said, feed the sheep. When you stand to preach, feed the sheep. False religion, I said to him, false religion will always be wrong all the way to the end. You'll never change it. But you can feed the sheep. And that's what the Lord said to Peter. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Don't get caught up out here fighting with these people. Don't get caught up out here throwing rocks back at them. They throw rocks at you. You pick them back up and throw them back at them. Don't do that. Don't do that. Feed the sheep. Take care of the sheep. Take care of the sheep. The Father proved His love to us by sending His only begotten Son. The Son proved His love to us by dying on the cross in our place. The Holy Spirit proves His love to us by keeping us, indwelling us, keeping us, and revealing to us the Lord Jesus Christ and guiding us. Guiding us. And my duty this morning is to feed the sheep. And Christ is the food. I'm the bread. I'm the water. Now let me give you these closing thoughts. And I got this from my pastor, Henry. Years ago. How do I know that I love Christ? It blessed me, so I wrote it down. I'm going to give it to you like it's given to me. How do I know that I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we talked about loving Christ. The Lord said, Peter, do you love me? And that question is just as alive today, just as real right now to every believer here. Do you love me? Do you love me? You cannot help. You absolutely cannot help thinking about them. Do you try to think of someone that you love? They're on your mind. They're on your mind. When I met my wife and we started dating, I was useless. I was pretty much useless. All I want to do is punch out at work and get on the road and go see her. I told her even now, I said, if you knew how much I enjoyed your company, you wouldn't get out of the truck. You wouldn't. That's after about 40 years. Almost. You can't help thinking about them. You don't have to try and think about someone you love. You don't have to try. They're on your mind. They're on your heart. On your heart. And then you love their presence. Don't you love their company? Oh, don't you love it when the I tell you what, when the grandchildren come to our house. I enjoy that so much. You love their presence. You love to be in their company. And you don't want them to leave. Have you seen him whom my soul loveth? That's what she said. You love to talk about him. You love to talk about them. You describe them. You parents, you talk about your children, and you'll put a sticker on your car. I'm a proud parent of this, a proud parent of that. You love to talk about them, and then you long for their company. Waiting for them to come home. Waiting for them to come home. Long for their company. And listen, it is not hard to submit to someone you love. It's not hard to do that. Not if you love that person. It's not hard to submit. And it's easy to be faithful to the one you love. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. But Peter says in all three statements, and I think he answered correctly and wisely, and this is comforting. Here's some real comfort here. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. You know it. Lord, you know. I know a few hours ago I acted like an idiot. Lord, you know. You know my heart. You know all things. You know I love you. You know I do. All right.